This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet. You're listening to the Clap Your Hands podcast, hosted by Elliot Shure Parks and Jack Fritz.
Woo, man. You want to talk about how all Sixers games just feel the same, except for the final few minutes of that one. We were texting during the beginning of the game. I was texting with my friends. The feeling at that beginning of the game, which we'll get into much more detail about it and big picture, but there is no pain quite like watching the Sixers mope up and down the court in a big game and not having them have any life. And that's what it was to start this game. But for them to actually win it, it's one of the more surprising and uncharacteristic wins of the Sixers playoff tenure over like the process era. I mean, they have had big wins. They beat the Celtics in game one last time. But there's not
the
been
game
many
one of the
games.
Season or the regular season this year. That's the game that you're talking about. The big
they
win.
Did win that one too, right? But I'm talking about last year in the playoffs. Game four would probably qualify as a
well,
game.
Well, game five was the one that I thought Embiid took the big growth last year.
Yes, and then he crashed back down to earth. But for them to come through and actually win this game it's shocking. Like they look dead in the water. And what I'll say is, while I don't feel great coming out of it, a win is a win, man. And, you know, for as much as I know our job is to analyze sports and to, you know, do all that, and fans are going to do that. But ultimately, what do you watch the game for, if not for games like tonight? It was a terrible start to it. They come back. They win. Clutch plays down the stretch by Embiid. For as bad as he was for the first 3.5 quarters, he hit a three-pointer. He had an and-one. He had a pass that led to an and-one. I mean, down the stretch, if you only turned that game on for the final 5 or 6 minutes, you would have thought this was exactly what you wanted from Embiid. Overall, not that great. But for him to come out of that funk he's in, that the face he does when he's in a bad mood to start a game, it is maybe my most painful Philly sports thing that I see. When you can just tell he is not checked in, he got out of it. And you could see it. And he makes the three. He does that Triple H gesture he loves. He makes the and one. He fist pumps. Like, you could see the frustration he felt. And so for him to make those big plays down the stretch, I thought there was an encouraging aspect to that. Outside of that, let's just be honest. They don't win this game if not for Nick Batum. I mean, he saved their season tonight.
He did. A couple things saved their season. One was obviously Nicholas Batum.
Yes.
Kelly Oubre is fearless. I'll say that. Yep. Like he can play you out of games, and I've been over that losing player, yada yada yada. He is fearless, and in a game like that, you needed him to be fearless. And Kyle Lowry. I mean, Kyle Lowry, it's not like he had a huge contribution when it came to point totals, but like little things that mattered, it mattered. Having a guy like Kyle Lowry. Like, I thought there was three guys who were fearless, and it was Oubre, Batum, and Lowry. The two stars, I thought it looked a little not ready for the moment, which is disappointing. Tobias Harris, always perpetually not ready for the moment. Just wakes up. It does get the bright lights out of here.
Turn them off.
Don't want them. Don't need them. I have never seen.
It's so good.
A ball, an NBA player.
I know.
Almost break the backboard on a 3-point shot,
dude.
Like
in that,
that
sequence when he missed all the layups, like,
it's atrocious, man.
But I will say, they benched him. Like, they did not, Nick Nurse did not play him down the stretch. Like, credit to Nick Nurse. We talked a lot on this pod, and we've talked about it on WIP too, about what they would do with Tobias. He did start tonight. We'll see if he starts the playoffs. I think he probably still will. But in the big moments, and maybe it's because Batum was playing so well, you couldn't possibly take him off the court. But in the big moments, Nick Nurse sat Tobias. And that's very noteworthy. He's not, I mean, Doc has not done that in past years. Brett never sat Tobias. So for Nick Nurse to do that is really noteworthy. But also, you piggyback off something you were saying. When you look at this game tonight, I don't think it's a coincidence that the players that showed up big were the new guys. There's this expression in sports, and I hear it a lot in soccer, like the weight of wearing the shirt. Like when you play for a team that really matters and that has a history, you feel that weight when you have it on. And we talked about this the past few weeks. Is it a clean slate for the Sixers? Are the Sixers entering this postseason with the baggage gone? We got our answer tonight. The baggage is very much there. You could see the weight of the shirt on Joel. You could see the weight of the past playoff failures on Maxi. You could see it on Tobias. You know, you didn't see it on Batum. You didn't see it on Oubre. And you didn't see it on Lowry. You didn't see it on Cam Payne, who came in and made a big shot. The guys who have not been a part.
The Cam Payne moment, baby.
He did. Yeah, he came in and he made his one big shot. The guys that have not been a part of these playoff collapses played like they have not been part of the playoff collapses. If they have this team last year and they have more of the same guys that have been through it, they lose this game tonight. They don't rebound like they did. They don't have those players to pull them out of it. So I think if you want to look at why should this game be encouraging, it's because they have a lot of new guys, and you could see tonight the difference in having guys that don't carry the weight of the baggage.
Yeah, and I think I was just going to – I'm glad you brought that up, because I kind of feel two things heading out of that game. Like, mm-hmm. on one hand, I'm furious at Joel. Like, yeah. It's just the – even going into halftime, having to hear Stephen A. and Bob Myers talk about how they heard before the game how hurt he was. And he didn't play on Sunday. He hasn't played since, what, Friday? So, like, it looked like the whole Joel Embiid grabbing the knee – kind of being mopey, not the best energy level. And Maxi just didn't look like he had it. Now, he's going against the Heat, so the expulsion obviously has something ready for him. But still, it was not the most inspiring performance. And on one hand, I could be like, well, they're not going to get 20 points from Nico Batum. I don't know why I said Nico Batum. I hate when they say Nico Batum.
He was Nico tonight, like Brett would say.
Yes, Brett Brown would say. They're not going to get that performance again. But, again, how you just laid it out, are Embiid and Maxi going to be that tight again? I mean, maybe, just maybe. That was a monkey off the back kind of moment where it's okay, deep breaths. We got through the first one. We didn't totally crap all over ourselves, even though they really tried. Like, It was one of the more shocking wins of my life, Elliot. Yeah. I mean, if you told me halfway through the second quarter that they were going to win that basketball game, I would have said you're crazy. So
not like, just maybe that, they made a run in the third and the Heat went back on a run. Mm-hmm. Like I was already texting with my friends if you would rather play the Hawks or the Bulls. Like that's how over it felt to me.
You are not a foxhole man.
I would jumping. Be the worst foxhole guy. I would be in the foxhole being like, yo, we should really bounce. Should like really this is not going well. Like we need to go.
Well, but, what cannot be not talked about enough is how Brickin' for Chicken might have saved the season.
In all seriousness, that not, if I'm Caleb not Burton makes that second free throw, the Sixers are probably preparing to play the Hawks or the Bulls on
it's
Friday.
Blouses, dude.
I know.
It's game over.
So I had this tweet ready. I was going to tweet in French the chicken nugget game. I decided not to, but I thought that would have been a pretty good tweet. Or maybe the title of the pot. You like
sure.
that?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Wells Fargo Center was dead before Brickin' for Chicken. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
and they missed both, and then bang, there's an energy level that was good.
It was worse than dead, and you know I wasn't there tonight, but you could feel it coming off the TV. It looked like the most tense, ugly stadium to be a part of. I can't imagine being at that game for the first. You know, it was probably really fun before the game started, and then it probably wasn't fun again until Joel made that three. And that's what I think the problem that they're going to run into is. And whenever things go poorly, I mean, you saw it tonight. The second things go poorly with this team, everyone brings up the playoff failures. They are not a fresh team. They don't have, you know, the rope with fans where if they would have lost tonight, you could sit there and go, well, Maxi, you know, had a great year, blah, blah, blah. You can feel the failures with each thing. And to what you were saying about how you feel after the game, there's definitely part of me that sits here and goes, Elliot, don't be such a hater. They won the game. It was a win against a team that we thought was going to be tough. a win against a team that wins those type of games, I don't think it can be overstated. Jimmy Butler's injury mattered. Jimmy was not a part of that game really for the second half. It's incredibly
I'm not
lucky.
Letting him off the hook. I mean, he was going off right after the injury.
No, I think he was hurt, man. He barely touched the ball in the fourth quarter.
Quitter.
No, you disagree. Okay, quitter. but regardless. So I do feel that way. Encouraging win. I think, you know, obviously they get the Knicks now instead of the Celtics. That's a major deal. But I leave this game and my main takeaway was how bad Joel played. And credit to him for coming up late. But this is, to your point about maybe this is a thing where he can learn and he can, you know, push through this and look back at this. That was game four last year. Remember game four, he was bad the whole game. And then PJ Tucker yells at him. And then he has a good final few minutes and he has a great overtime. And then they go out and win game five. Like, that was supposed to be that moment. And then he was terrible in game six and he was terrible in game seven. And then even earlier last year in that the Nets series, he comes out, he's all like, he was lucky he didn't get thrown out of the game against the Nets where he kicked that player. He has that look on his face. And then they win. But it's like the bottom line is they are only going as far as Joel can take them. Like their supporting cast is better. And you saw that tonight. They don't win this game last year because the supporting cast isn't as good. But they are only going as far as Joel and Maxey take them. And I know the Heat are are an opponent to be worried about. And they have that mental edge. But the Knicks have that too. And I leave this game not as confident that Joel is going to step up in those moments than I hope to leave this game.
Yeah, and I think that's totally fair because he is one of those guys, and it happens with stars, where they either add to the energy level or they zap the energy level.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of tonight where it was he's just zapping the energy level. And like you, sometimes you feed off of how your star player is acting out there, and I just think that they were looking at him like, "Are you okay? Like, are you doing, bro? What are you doing?" So I do. That's the biggest concern from tonight. Like I know we had the big three late. It's some good moments. I get it, but is that good enough against, like you just said, against a better competition? And plus, like, now I guess we have to factor in how healthy is he? Because I think the whole thing heading into these games were, oh, this is the healthiest Joel's ever been. He doesn't have that freak injury. He's just so spry. I didn't see spry tonight. Well, incredibly tired Joel Embiid.
The most frustrating thing to me was, and you touch on it, when is at halftime, it's been an atrocious first half. It's disgusting to watch. And they come out. And it's, well, you guys, like, Joel's actually not feeling 100%. And then in the third quarter, the beginning of the fourth, when he looks really tired, Doris Burke and J.J. Redick keep going, man, look how tired he is. His hands are on his knees. Like, it's really hard to come back from this injury and play in a high-pressure situation. And yes, there's some truth to that. But we saw him in Miami play better than he did tonight a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And then we saw him against Orlando in the game where he suffered the re-injury, if we want to call it that. Play better then too. I have seen Joel too many times look like this tonight for me to think that it was injury related. Is he 100%? No. Is he tired? I'm sure that's part of it. That wasn't why he played like that tonight. The reason, in my opinion, he played like that tonight was because in these big situations, he continually can't take it. It's the look on his face. We've all seen it, whether it's sports, whatever. You can tell when somebody is just checked out and they're not feeling it. And that's what Joel looks like in these big moments. And that's what he looked like tonight. It wasn't the injury to me. It wasn't the fatigue to me. It was the moment was really big and it didn't go well initially. And that was it. That was the end of it. And
without his teammates, without his teammates stepping up, they don't win that game. I mean, it's simple as that. Like, he could have his moments down the stretch, like, so sure. But that was only because his teammates around him really stepped up and kind of carried him. I mean, they bailed him out tonight. Because if they lose that game, Joel's getting crushed. I think people are so...
The season's over. If Joel's getting traded. Like, not traded, but that's the discussion if they lose tonight.
Well, it's just... I just don't know. There's one of two things. Either he really re-injured himself against the Magic, or he doesn't have the dog in him. Because, like,
right. And both are incredibly discouraging.
He hasn't played since Friday. Like, he hasn't played since, again, the Magic game. So it's now Wednesday. They sat him out Sunday because he wanted to be prepared for this game tonight. So, again, either he's hurt, which is also a huge problem, Mm-hmm. Or he's just not, he's not ready. I can't buy the shape thing. I can't, you're just letting him off the hook. It's as simple as that. Like, you're just letting him off the hook. Because he was, when he came back from injury, people were like, oh my God, he looks just like the pre-injury Embiid, mm-hmm. the MVP Embiid.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
So again, unless he hurt himself again, which is annoying, then you can't let him off the hook. It's as simple as that.
I agree. And so I thought a key moment or a surprising moment in this was, I think it was maybe 5 or 6 minutes ago in the fourth quarter, Nick Nurse did a timeout interview and they asked, like, what does Joel have to do to get going? And I thought Nick Nurse was going to say, you know, he's really battling out there, blah, blah, blah. But he was like, Joel needs to be better on defense. Joel needs to make his shots down low. You know, Joel needs to be better, essentially, is what he said. And I thought that was surprising. I think if that's Doc Rivers last year, he probably doesn't say that. I don't think Brett says that. Nick ripped into him a little bit. It made me remember something. So when they hired Nick Nurse, Nick Nurse wrote a book previously about the time he won the championship with the Raptors. And obviously that year, as fans have etched in their brain forever, the Raptors beat the Sixers in that 7-game series where Kawhi hit the shot. And there's a passage in there, and I pulled it back up, where Nick Nurse is talking about Joel Embiid, and he's talking about that series. And he writes, Embiid's a different player if he doesn't get off to a good start. He rides the crowd. For the first 5 minutes until they sub him out, every time he catches in the post, they double-teamed him, and they didn't want him to get off to a good start. And he says, in that playoff series, after they started the strategy of swarming Embiid to begin the game, he shot 18 of 49 overall. So Nick Nurse knows Joel's problem. And that's why I think with those 5 or 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, he was frustrated. He was probably sitting there as a coach, experiencing it as someone that's coaching Joel, not on the sideline with the Raptors saying, nice, this guy's out of it. I would love to hear the footage of what he said to Joel in the huddle, but it would not shock me if he said things like, you got to snap out of it, Joel. You got to get going, because Nick knows it. He's seen it. He's executed it against Joel. So for Joel to play that poorly and then have those big plays, credit to him, and hopefully that is a sign of things to come. But the Sixers' own head coach knows that to beat the Sixers and to get Joel out of it, you just have to get him off to a slow start. And we've seen it over multiple years that's a problem that I think tonight does not solve for me. I'm happy they won. It was an exciting win. Sports are about having fun, and Sixers fans who are there tonight and suffered through that whole thing deserve to leave the stadium happy. But I don't see how you leave this game not feeling like they have the same problem that they've had for years.
Well, the thing that I find so interesting about that whole, you know, toughness and battling through things is that he's always like, I wish we had Jimmy Butler. I wish we had PJ Tucker. Like, he wants someone else to almost be the tough guy. He talks about Pat Bev and like why Pat Bev and Pat Bev matters. It's kind of like he's always pushing it on someone else. And the Nick Nurse thing I thought was fascinating, because it felt like, so he paused before he went into it, because I think mm-hmm. he could have been even tougher, maybe. But the optimistic view is, I think Jimmy Butler has such, he lives rent-free in Joel's head, mm-hmm. that maybe just got by getting past Jimmy Butler and kind of slaying that dragon, and Nick Nurse maybe pushing him and saying, you got to go win us this thing, like snap, like maybe all of this could lead to Joel having a good playoff run here. Because listen, the Knicks are good. Like, dude,
yeah,
mean, one of us has been on the Knicks all year.
You're right.
How good the Knicks are, but they're also a team that he has traditionally dominated. Now, that's old Knicks. It's not great Knicks, but at least it's not like, oh bleep, there's Jimmy Butler on the other side.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Jalen Brunson's great. I mean, I love Jalen Brunson. I think he's a great Wildcat, you know. But yeah, go Cats.
Yeah, throw the V's up.
But outside of that, like, they're a well balanced, good basketball team. But it's like, it doesn't, I don't think it has the same boogeyman kind of feel that Jimmy Butler has over him.
So I think that's a great point. I do think that if we're going to talk about Joel being mentally checked out, it's important to talk about why he is like that. And I think the Jimmy thing does matter. I was even interested to see their pregame hug, if they were going to like joke around. And Embiid just gave him a hug and kept it moving. And I think you're right that the Knicks are a team, and they are a team that Joel will not be afraid of. But, and I hate to be this guy, Madison Square Garden, playoffs, Saturday night, prime time. I'll be curious to see how Joel comes out. And I think the concern against the Knicks, and I'm sure we'll preview them on Friday, but so we won't do it fully now. But my concern with tonight that specifically applies to the Knicks is I think the Knicks are similar to the Heat in the way that they want to grind it out. I mean, the Sixers didn't score 100 points against the Heat all year in the four games. Now, Joel missed some of them, but in the four times they played the Knicks, they grounded it. It was a grinded out game. It was tough.
Well, I mean, hold on. One of those games set basketball back 100 years.
That's what the Knicks do, and that's my concern. Early on in this game,
Embiid and Maxey didn't play in that game.
No, I agree with that, but I'm saying the way the Knicks play basketball is very similar to how the Heat want to play basketball. Sure. They want to grind it down. And again, based off tonight, the thing that like I cannot get over with the Sixers is they seem like a team to me that if you hit them in the mouth, they don't take it well. And I think the Heat are a prime throw a punch early, punch you in the mouth, and get it going. The Knicks, I haven't watched enough of them, but the vibe I get from them is that it's a very similar thing. That the Knicks want to hit you. They want to play ugly. They don't want to win the game 125 to 120. They want to win it 101 to 98. And what we saw tonight is the Sixers don't handle that well. Not only did Nicholas Batum save them, he played uncharacteristically well. It wasn't like Oubre had 25 points and you can go, well, he's done that throughout the year. Or Toby had 20 points and you go, well, this is, you know, a best version. Batum might not make 6 3-pointers. You know, the whole series. And I'm kidding.
Come on, man. Come on, man. He's been chilling the last half of the season. He's been chilling.
Yeah, maybe. But that's why I think tonight to me was discouraging, because the exact style the Knicks want to play is the exact style the Heat played. And the Sixers were lucky to escape that. They were lucky to escape it with a win.